Blog Talk Radio.
Technical difficulties this morning with this system, and it's still scheduled for only 10 minutes or 15 minutes. We're going to continue. I won't cover a whole lot this morning so that because I really want this to be recorded, again, for prosperity's sake, so that the online users or anyone that wants to go and download, they'll have the complete lesson. We probably won't stay on the full 2 hours this morning, don't want to waste anybody's time. We will pick up this lesson in its fullness on this evening, but I do want to cover some definitions on this morning, cover some definitions that we laid a foundation in, and then we will pick it back up this evening in its fullness and in its entirety because this, as I said, this is foundational, and I don't want anybody to have to call back in again on this morning. So those of you who are listening online, you may get cut off after 15 minutes. Trust that I will redo this entire lesson on this evening. For those who are online and you do not get cut off, or you're on the phone and you don't get cut off, we're going to continue in this morning, but we're going to just go over some definitions. I won't really get into the meat of the precept because I want, you know, it to be one, really one continuous teaching, and so that when anybody downloads it, they won't have to go to two or three different broadcasts for the same information. So bear with me. I apologize. The enemy is busy this morning. And because I didn't properly end the last, you know, the scheduled one, then it, when I went to go live, it basically wouldn't allow me to correct the time period, the amount of time. And so I would have had to have ended this broadcast and created a completely new one again. So we're not going to go through that this morning. We'll just chalk it up to technical difficulties, and the enemy, you know, doesn't want this to go out, evidently. But we're going to do it anyway, and we will do the complete lesson on this evening. So with that being said, we had already done our statement of faith. We're going to go ahead and pray in on this morning, and we're going to conduct ourselves as usual, but I will probably only go maybe 45 minutes to an hour this morning, because I don't want, as I said, this to be split up into several, this first part at least, to be split up into several broadcasts, and you come and listen to the first one, it's only a piece of it, and you come and listen to the second one, it's only a piece of it. I will probably delete these anyway, and the one concerning this one, this topic, will start this evening for, you know, to close up the Sabbath. So my apologies, my sincere apologies to all the listeners out there, wherever you may be at. Just understand that if you, for this particular lesson, you're going to want to pick up the one that's going to be done this evening. It would have been part two of it, but it's going to be part one. And this morning, we're just going to go over some definitions. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that we, your people, should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us. For they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But you have said, if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us, and we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we would ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, for our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that you will call in Mashiach, who will come and obey your voice and keep your commandments. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. Now, as I said, this broadcast for some of you will end at this point in about 60 seconds. For those of you who are on the phone, stay on. We will continue. I'm just going to go over a few definitions to lay a foundation, and then I will go back over these again on this evening so that we can for those who are listening online, that they can have it all in one session. And for prosperity's sake, for the lesson's sake, that, you know, it will be in one broadcast, that this is established, because this is foundational, again, concerning the law and concerning Christ, so that we understand why we need him and why, if you don't know the law, you cannot know Christ, because it's for this purpose that the law was given. So if we say that we're not up under the law, or it doesn't apply to us, then we really have no idea of who Christ is. All right. That being said, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 46 through 53. 46 through 53 on this morning. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And this is Yah's Sabbath, and we honor him, and we summon his presence to be amongst us. Anytime that we meet, let us have the blowing of the shofar.
it is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just say, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions. God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin. And with his own finger, it was personally written. But still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians. Like when Christ came, the Sabbath day starts switching. But no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles. Like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath. And he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness. I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture. It's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. And Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says God ain't changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for his deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The 7th day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed it. My focus professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
Let the world know.
World of Israel.
Snap your fingers. Snap them. Snap your fingers. Snap them.
World of Israel.
Snap your fingers. Snap them.
Ain't nobody greater. Ain't nobody greater.
You say that you love him, but you won't even keep his laws to save your life. You say that you need him, but when problems arise, you try to solve it your way. You wanna go back with him, I know that that's a fact. But what is the use when you won't serve him? I advise you to serve the Lord right now.
The Most High is the best.
Ain't nobody greater. He'll help you through your test. Nobody treat
us. It's
your God, oh yeah. When problems knock you down, so please
just remember this.
Ain't nobody treat us. You say that there's nothing wrong with breaking God's laws. That there's nothing wrong.
And nothing bad will happen to you. But don't you know, if you don't repent, but don't you know, you're gonna die. But don't you know, you're gonna die. But don't you know, you're gonna die. But don't you know, but if you repent, but don't you know, save your life. But don't you know, you're gonna die.
The Most High is the best.
Ain't nobody greater.
We'll help you through your test.
Nobody's
greater. He's your God,
oh yeah. When problems knock you down, when it gets hard, so please
just remember this.
Ain't nobody greater. Sometimes in our lives we will make mistakes, but you gotta pray. He who overcomes will inherit all things. God says.
The Most High is the best.
Ain't nobody greater.
We'll help you through your test.
Ain't nobody greater.
The book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. Let's find out what the definition of Christ is. Okay, first. We're going to find out what the definition of Christ is first, so that when we read the different stories later on, like Christ was in the wilderness. Was it the individual or was it this? Okay, so we have an understanding. And then we understand because, again, Christ is not a who. Christ is a what. Okay, it's a definition. It's an accomplishment. It is defined by the Most High in this way. For I am not ashamed, and we're in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Christ is the power of Elohim unto salvation. Now, if we take that definition, the power of Elohim, and another place, I need to find another scripture for this that says it is the wisdom and the power of Elohim unto salvation. Now I have to find that scripture. Any means that the Most High uses to save his people, whether it was the water coming out of the rock, the flint rock in the wilderness. The scripture tells us that Christ was that rock. And so we might think that, you know, if we don't understand what Christ is, then we might think that Messiah was back there and he was literally that rock. But that's not what it's really saying. The rock that the Most High caused the water to come out of, that flint rock, was his power and his wisdom to save the people of Israel in the desert from what? Thirst, from dying of thirst, to show them his power to save them. So it is the Most High's power and his wisdom, really, unto salvation, whatever means he uses every time he would save the people. It is a type of Christ. Now, when we bring that into the New Testament and Messiah, and he gains the title of Christ, the Christ. His last name is not Christ. Okay. He is Yeshua, the Christ. It's a title. The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. So the Most High used the death of Messiah on the cross to bring us salvation. And because Messiah did it, laid down his life, he gained the title of the Christ to bring us salvation, the power of the Most High to bring us salvation. So this is what the title, the definition of Christ is. It's not his last name. It is the work that he did to bring us salvation. And that work is the power of the Most High unto salvation. So Christ is a what? It is given to Mashiach for going to the cross and laying down his life. Okay, so I pray we understand that. So that is what, who and what Christ is. And I'll find the second verse for this evening, because it just came to my mind. The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. Okay? And so we have to understand that. That's what Christ means. That's what the title and the crown means. Go to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. And we're going to get chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Definition. What is sin? What is sin? Because, you know, people make up all the time what sin is, and it, you know. But the Bible gives us a definition for sin. So we don't have to make it up. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. And as I said, these are foundational. Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is when we break the law of the Most High, when we break the covenant. Okay, now this word law really is an English translation of the word instruction. In the Hebrew, the word is instruction. But when they translated it to the English, they translated that word instruction to law. So we could read that verse as sin is the transgression of the instructions of the Most High. So we want to look at also the definition of the scripture of what the law is. Because, you know, for whatever the reason, again, in the modern day, a lot of organizations are teaching that we are not up under the law, because the scripture says that. Okay. And if you are living by faith, because this is what the Most High, let me just put it this way, this is what the Most High wanted from the very beginning. What he wanted from the very beginning when he first created man. He just wanted man's nature to be good. He wanted man to naturally just select and to choose to do the right thing without giving him a law, without telling him to do it, without telling him what he had to do to be good. And he said that man's thoughts were continually evil, and he would not do good. He just wouldn't do it. And it wasn't that it wasn't sin. He said because sin was in the world. But where, let's get this verse so that we have understanding. Again, that you don't say Brother Miles said. Give me a hot second. And like I said, this is not all thought out yet, so I'm coming off the top of my head. Just a second here. Because we're going to add this to our definition. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to get verses. We're going to start in verse 12. We're in verse 12, 13, and 14. Romans chapter 5. Verses 12, 13, and 14. I'm going to add this to my list here. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. So the law wasn't given yet, but there was still sin. It just wasn't, the law wasn't given to men. But sin is not imputed, is not charged when there is no law. So all those people before the flood, Adam had one commandment, he and Eve, don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from that tree. Okay, it hadn't been given to them not to kill, not to covet. So when Cain killed Abel, he sinned, but there was no law given yet. So the Most High didn't impute the death penalty to Cain, because he hadn't given the law yet. So he says, okay, I haven't told you this yet, so I can't charge you with this. But you sinned, you've broken, there is law for this, but I haven't given it to you yet. Okay, so when a lot of people say, oh, the law was in the garden, there was only one law in the garden, don't eat from that tree. And they want to make, you know, all these other laws be in the garden, but it wasn't there. So the Most High didn't impute, he didn't charge Cain. He didn't carry out a sentence. He hadn't given a judgment. It's not later, not until later, that the Most High gives the judgment for if a man takes another man's life, a life for a life. So he couldn't impute this judgment against Cain. Hope this is making sense to you. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So the Most High said, it's sin, but you know, I haven't given it to you yet. So I can't impute it against you. I can't charge you with it and charge you with it and carry out the sentence. So Cain, you're going to go out into the world. I'm going to put a mark on you. And whosoever sees you, they know that you're marked, but they're not going to try to kill you because I hadn't given you this yet. I hadn't given this to the world yet. So it can't be charged. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. The law was given up under Moses. Okay, the complete law that the Most High wanted man to be charged with. That's why Messiah went back those 3 days when he was in the ground. And he went back in time and he preached the gospel to all those people who were pre-flood because they hadn't had it. They were condemned, but they hadn't had the gospel yet. And so they got a chance through him, however he did it, to accept the gospel because it was not given to them. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or the same way as Adam's transgression. They didn't have access to the tree. Adam and Eve, and see, it doesn't say Eve. Eve was beguiled. She was seduced. Adam knew what he was doing. He willfully sinned. The Most High didn't charge Eve. He just said, hey, I'm going to give you a discipline to correct your behavior. It's not a punishment. This is to correct the behavior and the nature that's within you. Because the true problem with Eve was she wanted to be wise and like the Most High. She wanted to have wisdom. She wanted to be above Adam. And so when she saw the food, when she saw the fruit on the tree and that it was good for food and one to be desirable to make one wise, she took it and she did eat. It reveals what was in her. Then she gave it to her husband, Adam, later. He wasn't there with her. But he could have said, I ain't eating that. You know better than that woman. Didn't I tell you, don't even touch it? Yeah, you said the day that I touch it, I'll die. I touched it and I didn't die. So then I ate it. So, you know, I would have told her the same thing, trying to keep her safe. Hey, don't even go near it. Don't even touch it. At least you die. That's not what God told Adam. He just told Adam, don't eat it. He didn't say don't look at it. He didn't say don't touch it. He said, don't eat it. At least you die. Now, Adam tells Eve, don't even touch it. I know he had to tell her that, and the Most High didn't tell her that. It had to be Adam to tell her that. And it's out of love. It's out of protection. Now, she is in a fallen state. He chooses to eat, to make himself like his companion, to put himself in the same state that she's in. If you're going to kill her, if she's going to die, then I'm going to die. This is not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So the sin, the Most High doesn't charge Eve. He charges Adam. You knew. She knew too. But she was seduced. She was beguiled by Satan. But Adam, you weren't seduced. He chose. who is the figure of him that was is to come. So that was the only sin that man could commit at that time, because the Most High hadn't given them, even as concerning the clean and unclean animals. Most High didn't tell, they weren't eating animals at that time. They were eating from the herb of the ground and from the fruit of the trees. The animals weren't eating other animals at this time. It is not until after the flood do you find that the Most High said the animals are going to eat the animals and you're going to eat the animals too. And all the animals shall be good for food for you. They shall be like the herbs of the field and like the fruits of the tree, meat for you. All the animals were good for them, he said. They could eat them, clean or unclean. All is all. And so you found people starting to eat what? Swine. And eating everything else that was not considered. They knew that they were quote-unquote unclean, but they weren't illegal to eat. Because the Most High wasn't coming close to these people. And as they populated the earth, and man grew in number, and the Most High says, I'm going to take for me a priesthood now. One that is going to be obedient to me, because he had a priesthood in Egypt that corrupted itself. I'm going to make me a new priesthood, and I'm going to give them all of my statutes, my laws, my commandments to give to the rest of man. That comes up under Moses. So that's why it says from Adam to Moses. It is not until the Most High brings Israel out of Egypt and he gives them the law through Moses. So when you see that here the law of Moses, Moses didn't create any laws. Moses only repeated what the Most High told him. And because it came through Moses to the people, they say the law of Moses. And so a lot of people don't want to obey it because they're like, oh, Moses made up that law. Moses gave divorce. The Most High told Moses everything to say, and Moses did not say anything and write down anything or create anything that the Most High didn't tell him to say. The one time Moses did that, it got him banned from the promised land. The one time he did it, shall we bring you water out of this rock? Most High looked at him and said, what do you mean we? Hebrew, what's wrong with you? You don't take my glory from me ever. And you don't give the people any instruction that I don't give you. That's how we know that it always, anytime you go into the covenant, you go into the law, and the Most High would call Moses and say unto Moses, tell the children of Israel this. And somehow when we get into the New Testament, and people's understanding is that, oh, Moses gave the law. And Moses gave divorce. No, the Most High gave the law. The Most High gave divorce. The Most High allowed for multiple marriages. The Most High did these things, not Moses and not the prophets. And so we got to understand that. So until Moses was given the law to give to the nation of Israel, the Most High's priesthood, he said, I'm not imputing sin. Why? Because I'm not going to charge you with something, even though you are guilty of it, because I haven't told you about it yet. So I'm not going to impute it against you. I'm not going to charge you with it. Even though you have sinned and everybody is dying, even though they didn't transgress the same way that Adam did. Adam introduced sin into the world, and once it was activated, anybody that sins dies. But they're dying, and I haven't charged them. They are dying because now they are conceived in sin. And my law is going to come against them, and the destroyer is going to come against them. The spirit of death is going to come against them. But I have not charged them yet. So where there is no law, sin is not imputed. It's not charged. So from Abraham to Moses, sin was not imputed. It wasn't charged, even though the people were dying, because they were still sinning. But the Most High says, you know, I'm not charging them with that, but they have sinned, and this spirit, the spirit of death, is going to come and arrest them. Just like the police officer today can arrest you for a crime. And they say, well, that crime is not really effective on the books. Yeah, it's on the books, but we don't really charge people with it. But the policeman arrested you for it. And so they're supposed to, what, let you out of jail. When you go to court, oh, well, no, we're not going to find you guilty because we don't really charge up under this crime. It is a crime on the books, but we don't really impute it. We don't really invoke it. And so they say, okay, we're going to let you go. This is what the Most High is saying by everybody before the flood. Before the flood. Now, he killed everybody before the flood. Why? Because they were not naturally good. They were just, their heart and their thoughts was continually evil. And the Most High said, I need to start over. I need to reboot. I need to reboot because man's thoughts are continually evil. Let's go get that so that we understand that this is why he killed them. Let me get this. Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Remember that they only had one law. That was, thou shalt not eat from the tree in the midst, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. Mosiah still has not given them any other laws. When he kicks Adam and Eve out of the garden, when he seals off the garden and puts an angel there to guard it so that man can't go back in and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and can't eat from the tree of life either. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They couldn't think of anything good to do. Only thing they could think of was doing evil, doing wickedness. And it's like the Most High said, I just want to see what they will do. I'm not even going to give them a law. Let me see how they will behave. And remember, when he created man, and he created everything, he said, and it was all what? Good. So where did this evil come from? Where did this evil heart come from? Where did it come from in Cain to kill Abel? Verse 6, and it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him, the Most High, in his heart. I'm so sorry that I have made this creature. But it wasn't just man. It wasn't just man, because the animals corrupted their nature too. It was a different time, and we gotta, you know, if we can't, pick it out of the scriptures. It was a different time. The animals didn't eat animals. Everybody was eating the herbs of the field and straw and grass and the fruits from the tree. Animals weren't killing other animals. And they were talking to man. That's why the serpent could talk to Eve. Probably wasn't the only animal that could talk, that could communicate with man. But because he's the one and was used to cause the woman to eat from the tree and to fall, we hear that story. But we got to know that it was a different time. Verse 7, and Yah said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them, all of it. Okay. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah. And let me let's continue to read here so you have this understanding. Because remember, there is no law. There's only one law that the Most High has given. Actually, two laws. I forgot that he told them that they would eat, you know, that the herbs of the ground and the fruits from the trees would be meat for them. So they have a commandment to eat, only eat that and not to eat flesh. So verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before Yah, before Elohim. And the earth was filled with violence. Now where does violence come from? Okay, and Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. Not just man, but the animals, everything had corrupted its ways. And he didn't tell us how the animals corrupted their ways, but they were in league with man. And who knows, so some animals may have been killing some other animals. Some animals may have been killing some men. Some men may have been killing other animals. We don't know. Doesn't specifically say. But he says that all flesh had corrupted its ways on the earth. Not just man, but all. So the Most High says, I'm going to destroy man off of the face of the earth. And the beast. And the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, all the flesh. For it repents me. I'm sorry that I have made them. Most I wasn't happy with it. Now, they didn't have a law. They didn't have access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't have access to the tree of life either. But their thoughts, the way that they were behaving was what? Continually evil. Their nature was to be evil. And so the Most High says, hey, I created it. I can destroy it. And that's what he did. He said, but I found one man. And not all the animals have corrupted themselves. I'm going to take enough to repopulate the earth. And I'm going to start over. And then I'm going to, I got to get man out of this situation. I got to get Adam, the seed of Adam, out of this situation. And he's not, Adam could have gotten him out of that, Adam could have actually gotten them out of that situation, if the truth be known. That's why it says that Christ, the first Adam, we will get that maybe another time. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to hold us up this morning because I'm going to redo this evening. But the first man, Adam, was of this earth, earthy, and death entered into the world by him. The second man, Adam, is the Lord, or Yah from heaven. And so we got to understand that Adam could have paid the price. If he had not sinned, he was eternal. He couldn't die if he had not sinned. Death wasn't activated. He could have paid the price for Eve. But instead of paying the price and being a type of Christ, he chose to jump into it with her. So he could have been a Christ, but he chose to jump into sin by eating the fruit given to him by Eve. So let's go to and go to Genesis. And let me get this verse. I must need to reboot everything here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. The book of Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 17. So going to look at what he said to Adam, okay? But unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, because you listened to her, and hast eaten of the tree, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Eve ate from the tree. When Eve ate from the tree, Eve had the knowledge of good and evil. She talks to Adam. And he listens to her. And he knows she's in the wrong. And he freely chose to eat from the tree, to eat what she had given him. Because the scripture says he was not deceived, but she was deceived. So the sin was charged to him. So we got to understand that because he listened to her and ate, sin entered into the world. But had he not listened to the voice of his wife, he wasn't subject to death because he had not sinned. He had not disobeyed that commandment. And he could have been a Christ. The Most High could have said, now, a woman, a man, because a woman is a man, just a womb man. That's woman, womb man. A man, a female man, had sinned. Adam could have, the Most High could have said, you know what, Adam, I require your blood. And don't worry. I'm going to take your blood and raise you back up. You're a perfect sacrifice to pay for the sins of your wife. And she could have been made atone for. But instead, when he ate, the Most High had to kill some animals. Where do you think he got those skins from to make them clothes? Some animals died. And their blood was used as an atonement for Adam and Eve. But Adam could have paid that price, and he could have been the Christ for Eve, for all of mankind. But he chose to sin. He chose to break the one commandment that the Most High had given them. And had he not done that, he could have been the Christ, a Christ. So I hope we can understand that. Until the law, sin was not imputed unto man. But the Most High still killed them. Once that spirit of death was invoked, the spirit of death was coming and arresting people even though they had not been charged. Said they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. Had not sinned in the same way Adam had sinned. Had not been disobedient to the Most High because they hadn't been told. Adam was told not to eat from the tree. Eve was told not to eat from the tree. Now you don't have access to the tree. But men are dying because they're doing things that are sin, but they don't know they're sin. But death has been activated in the world, so death comes and arrests them. And it just takes just shy of 1,000 years. So men were living a long time. They had eternity. But the Most High says, in the day. It was a day according to him. A day is as 1,000 years. So we don't find any man in the Old Testament living 1,000 years, living one day. Find them living 900 years, 800 years, 600 years. But not 1,000 years, not a complete day. Because death has been activated in the world. And the Most High's word was that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. We look at it as a day to us, like the sun comes up and goes down, rises again, that's a day. It wasn't that time frame back then. It was 1,000 years. That was one day. And so Adam and Eve, or Adam, you know, I don't even know if the scriptures even reveal how long Eve lived. But the truth of the matter is, sin entered into the world through Adam. So let's go back. Go back to Romans chapter 5, and we'll stop here for this morning. Romans chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 12. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. That one man was Adam. It's not imputed to Eve. Eve was beguiled. She was seduced. So the Most High looked at that as also being like ignorant sin. She knew she wasn't supposed to eat from the tree. She knew that. And she did willfully eat from the tree, but she was seduced into doing it. Adam wasn't seduced. And the Most High says, okay, you willfully did that. So I'm going to impute the sin against you. You're also the head. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, the Most High, even though he didn't give the law, once death was activated, death is the sheriff. So I want us to look at it like this. Death is the sheriff that comes and arrests you when you break the law. And though the Most High hadn't given the law to all men, the law still existed. But he says, hey, I'm not going to charge them with that, but death was still charging them. Death was still doing its job. They broke the law. I'm going to go and arrest them. They would have to go before the Most High. The Most High says, I'm not going to impute that sin against them. I'm not going to charge them with that. And they would get eternal life back. They would be found not guilty. But because the hearts of men were continually evil, the Most High says, I need to kill all this, or else it's just going to stay evil. This is their nature. Something is wrong. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. The law hadn't been given yet, but sin was still in the world. But sin is not imputed. It's not charged when there is no law. So they had one law, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam ate from it. Eve was beguiled or seduced into doing it. The Most High charged Adam. But death entered into the world at that point. And anybody who transgressed a law that was given or not given, death arrested them and threw them in jail, the grave. Because that's what it does. And the Most High says, I need to start over. Okay? Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, the same way Adam sinned, who is the figure of him that was to come. Adam was the figure of him that was to come. Adam was supposed to be a type of Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For it through the offense of one, many be dead. Through the offense of Adam, all men die. But much more the grace of Elohim. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Yeshua HaMashiach, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So the Most High will forgive you your sin through Mashiach. One time. And we know that that's ignorant sin. And he forgave us our one time. Well, let me say that again, a different way. He forgave all of our sin one time, willful and ignorant, through Mashiach. And then after that, the only sin that we could actually commit, just like those people in the beginning, they didn't have a law. It was ignorant sin. You didn't know. So I'm not imputing it against you. But it's still sin. And the day that you learn about it, you need to repent of it. So on this evening, we're going to get back into these definitions. And I sort of went, you know, off track in another direction kind of a little bit. But I'm going to define these things. Sin, then we're going to get into the law. We already know what Christ is, but I'm going to redefine what Christ is, and I'm going to go into the law and define what the law actually is. so that when we come back, so that we understand who and what Christ is, and that the sin is designed, the law is designed to bring us to Christ, to the power and the wisdom of God unto salvation. He says, now you're going to look at this man in the flesh who did this act, and I want you to believe on him because he is my power and my wisdom unto salvation. And why do you have to come to him? Because you transgress my law. And without the law, there is no transgression. It's not imputed. And this is what, you know, that statement that people want to rely on. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed. And when it says you're not under the law, then we'll say, oh, that none of that applies to me. But that is a twisting of the scripture. So we want to show and develop through the scriptures that if you don't know the law, you can't know what sin is. And the law was created to bring you to Christ. The law was created so that you understood why you need salvation. Why you need to turn away from that evil, those continually evil thoughts. Because it's man's nature to just want to do wickedness all the time, to please this flesh. To please, you know, the thoughts of his mind. So we want to establish this so that we understand that, hey, if you don't know what the law is and you don't understand what it is and you think that it don't apply to you and you can't know Christ, you can't know the power and the wisdom of the Most High because you don't even know what he saved you from. How can you know Christ and you don't even know what offends the Most High? You don't even know what he considers proper behavior. He had to give it because our nature was continually evil. Our thoughts, the way that we conduct ourselves. You might think that we're really good people. So think about it this way, and then we'll close up. If you are inheritably evil and you don't know it because it's just the way that you are, even your good thoughts that you think are good more than likely are evil. You just don't know it because it's just your nature. So what you think is good is actually evil, but you can't discern it. Can't tell it because you have nothing to weigh it against. So just think about this. Nobody ever told you right from wrong. And you thought it was okay to take somebody's stuff because you could and you just took it. And nobody said it's right or wrong. The strong survive. You thought it was okay to just grab that woman by the hair and drag her into the bushes and do what you want to because you were stronger than she was. She thought it was okay to stab you with that bone because she didn't know how else to get the food that she needed. And she knew that killing you, she could get it. I'm just making up stuff. And nobody said that it was wrong. It's just the way it was. And so even with moral standards, even with standards our parents teaching us that society says this is good and this is evil, our nature left alone is to do evil. It's to please this flesh. It's to please ourselves. That's our nature. This is what the Most High said. When left to your own devices, if I don't tell you right from wrong, your nature is to do wrong. And so I had to give you the law, the instructions, that teach you what I say is right and what I say is wrong. I had to give you a teacher, which is the law. So we're going to get into this on this evening so that we understand that if we don't have a law and our nature is by nature to be evil, to do evil, then if we don't have a law to go by, we don't have a standard to go by, then of course we're going to, because our nature is to do evil, we're going to do evil. And we have to consciously, you know, some people might say, you know, that's wrong to me. And certain people might say, oh, that's wrong to me. But we're all going to have something that we say is wrong or right. And we're going to be wrong on it. Just our personal conviction. And we might think that, you know, from an evil conscience that this is good. So it's wrong to kill a baby in the womb, but after it comes out of the womb, it's not wrong to kill them. We can just go to war and we can just kill you. See, we will justify on one level, and then on another level, life is life. That life in the womb and that life outside the womb is life. And we want to object if somebody kills a baby in the womb because I guess this is totally undefensive. It can't defend itself. But then here comes this 230-pound man against this 120-pound man or against this 110-pound woman and kills her or kills him. And we won't want to say whether it's justified or not. Still took a life. But we want to justify it by degree. But the Most High says, if you take a life, period, in the womb or out of the womb, you're supposed to forfeit yours. So he says, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. We want to justify ourselves. So he says, I need to give you a standard. I need to give you instructions. I need to give you the penalties. That if you do these things, this is right and this is wrong. And if you do wrong, this is the penalty for doing wrong because it's not within you to do it yourselves. You will just be chaotic. Your thoughts will be evil continually. And you will do whatever you think you need to do to survive. If the man feels like he's strong enough to take it, he will just take it. If the woman learns that her body can be used to get whatever she wants, she will use her body to survive. That's human nature. And he says that's evil continually. That's what their thoughts were. So we will continue this, and I will sort of start it over. We're going to establish this, and we're going to go in, you know, like I said, on to this evening. I really want to get into, but I want to spend so much time on what I spent it on this morning. I'll start over. We'll redo the definitions of what things are, but then we want to get into the law and what the law is, so that when we come into the New Testament, that we understand that we are supposed to keep this by faith. We're supposed to be, you know, understanding what the difference between good and evil is and keep it by faith. Even in the spirit of it, we should understand that it says this literally, but in the spirit of it, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this either. In the spirit of it, the intent of it. You know, you can't write something that covers all everybody's intent. Can't cover every example. So you put it down in writing, and then if you say literally, this is all this means, But you can see that, well, no, that could probably apply to this, and it could probably apply to that in degrees. It could apply to this. Then the spirit of it. And so the Messiah chose to use, when it came to him with marriage, what was the spiritual intent of marriage? It was that a man and a woman would come together and they would never divorce. That was the intent. And that a man wouldn't put away his wife for any and every reason, just because he could do it. That was the intent. And that if he looked at a woman who was married and he lusted after her, wanted her, but she was already spoken for, that he was an adulterer in his heart. Because the only thing that didn't happen was, it didn't physically happen. But in his heart and in his mind, he had already done it. And if the opportunity presented itself, he would do it.